Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Irresistible Attraction, a way of life. Irresistible attraction means that you naturally attract what you want in life.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I'm hoping that everyone can hear me. I am Master Prophetess Roselena Flanoy, and I am coming to you this evening, afternoon, morning, for wherever you may live, with a word, you know, from the Lord that He has definitely pressed upon my heart. To bring forth on not only Blog Talk, but also through the different live streaming shows that I've been blessed to do as well. So as we go forth, I know I sound a little distracted right now, and that is because I'm trying to make sure that everything is the way that it's supposed to be. Amen. So what we're going to do is if you can just give me 1 to 2 seconds so I can see everything that is going on right now, we'll be able to get through this together. Amen. All righty. Amen. Okay, amen, amen, amen. So as we're going forth, we're going to start out in prayer. I just want to thank you all for tuning in today. God has a magnificent, magnificent prophetic word for His people. There is no way that we can go through a day. There is no way that we can just be who we are and understand the anointing and the presence of God in a way that God may be telling us that if we, in fact, choose to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that He said that He's seeking after those that are willing to do that. And so in seeking God is in listening to what the Lord would have to say to each and every one of us on a daily basis, because it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just being in God's presence just one time and then all of a sudden it's over. He does not operate like that. He is a magnificent God with magnificent power, with a magnificent anointing, and there is no way that you can resist the presence or the power of God once He has manifested it to us. Coming into the presence of God is always a choice. It is a choice to choose to worship Him. It is a choice to choose to adorn Him. It is a choice to choose to please Him. And it is in us desiring to please God. And all that we say or do is when we begin to see this magnificent change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we come in contact with. And so we're going to be discussing what it means eating, what it means to eat from the prophet's table, because there is definitely, the Bible tells us that when you give a prophet a drink of water in the name of a prophet, that you will receive a prophet's reward. And it is in the rewarding process is where we begin to see the true power of God in our lives in a way that we have never imagined it to be before. There is no way, no how, no possible way at all that any of us can lose the love of God in our lives. It is God that desires us It is God that places the desire of knowing him and loving him and worshiping him. It is him that places those things in us. As we begin to pursue him and he begins to tell us, my child, I'm so sorry, my child, thank you. Thank you for your love and your adoration towards me. Thank you for being the one that I have called into my presence. Thank you for choosing to desire who I am. Amen. And so it is so wonderful whenever we come before God, like today. Hold on. I'm sorry. I've got some things coming up. We're going to go into prayer. One second. I have things that I have to do on this end as sometime as the show is going, and it is not any way that I can get around it because of the call on my life and the different people that I advise and do life coaching with and counsel and teach and train and all of that. So sometimes it's some things that kind of come in that I need to deal with at that moment. So here we go. Father, we come to you right now. We come into your presence. We give you all of the adoration, all of the love. Lord God, we come before you, God, humbly, Lord, asking for your forgiveness for anything unright and unpleasing, Lord God, that works against your glory and your power and your purpose in our lives and the lives that we come in contact with, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege and we thank you for the honor, Lord God, to worship you and to serve you, to knowing you and to being with you, God. You said those that will worship you in spirit and in truth, that you're seeking after those, Lord God. Father God, we desire to be sought out by you and to be known by you, God. Lord, that when everyone looks at us, Lord God, that all they see is you. All they see is you, Father. And Father, we come before you in all authority and in all power, in all humility, right before you, God. Thanking you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and for the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, God. Lord God, I thank you. You said the demons tremble at the name of Jesus, God. We lift Jesus' name up high in our hearts and above us and in the ministry and the calling, Lord God. And all of those that are a part of it, the hearers, the seers, the doers, and the deniers, God. Father, we'll be so careful to give you all of the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we serve, worship, and adore you. We seek the manifestation, God, of your power and your glory, the supernatural grace and mercy that comes from your presence, God. The masterful, majestic King. That you are the great I am. You said that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus and shed the blood of Jesus upon myself and my husband and our children, grandchildren, Lord God, everyone and everything that pertains to us, Father, each and every listener. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. There has been a magnificent change in the lives of God's people. When God began to speak to me about coming forth in this, wow, how do I put it? Coming forth under an anointing that only God Himself can provide in our lives, we have to understand that it's only in the presence of God where we begin to see and know God's glory. He is the only true and living God that I serve. Now, I thank God for all that has come about in my life, in the lives of so many others. You know, God has come along in a way in my life that no one could ever understand, as well as probably even care. But I thank God. I thank God that if it had not been for Him, that I would have been swallowed up, that I would have lost everything. My soul, I would have lost everything that God had for me. God has never, never left me. He has never forsaken me. And all He has ever done is loved me for who I am. Understanding that it has been in the presence of God that has brought a change in my life since last year that is so hard to explain. But the touch that comes into people's lives from the presence of God and what He's doing is undeniable. No one can deny it. No one can deny it. And no one can explain it. You cannot explain God, because God's presence and God's power is so enormous. And it is, He said that His thoughts, they're just so far beyond ours. His ways are even higher than ours. So we can never ascertain to that level of who God truly is, what it is that God is truly desiring to do in each and every one of our lives. When we see in the book of Amos, chapter 3:7, and it says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets." There are so many times that people reject that out of anger and jealousy. There are times that people do not want God to reveal what's truly in their hearts, but not understanding that the only thing that really matters is that God is the one that's seeing what's in our hearts. And knowing that in some way that I could have caused any type of, I don't know, Jesus. Yes, Lord. The Lord began to speak to me about something, about being the watchman on the wall, as He talks about in the book of Ezekiel. And as God began to share some things with me, and I welcome my senior prophetess, Jamara Griffin. Bless you, baby. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Hello? You can hear me. Okay,
yes,
do you want the mic on or off? Okay, do you want your mic
on
or off?
I'm about to put mine on mute.
Okay. Amen. And so he has had me eating and eating and eating in the book of Ezekiel. And as I begin to go into Ezekiel and God begin to reveal some extremely powerful things to me, I just had to just take a little time in each one because the meat was so fulfilling. But it also brought a conviction for healing. And it's not always easy to make the choice, the decision to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in our hearts. It's not easy. Because then that means that God's getting ready to clean up some mess in me. And even the fact of knowing that, my God, God knows about this mess that's in me breaks my heart. And for some, it may be something as simple as, oh, I took a pencil from work. You know, oh, well, you know, I take this and that from work. Nobody's going to miss it. And as hard as I work, they ought to be happy I don't take more. Well, you're a thief. Let's just be real about it. You're a thief because you've taken something that you did not purchase, that does not belong to you, and that no one gave you the permission to take. That means you're a thief. And it's about being transparent now. So eating from the prophet's table brings forth much transparency. And you have to be willing at that point and understand that that's where you're going to need to be, is transparent there. And understand that we're not here to just read your mail, even though we can. But it's not going to do any good to you, me, or anyone else that comes into your path, because there is a choice that each and every one of us as individuals must make. And the choice is, am I willing to be transparent in front of other people to let them know that I really do have a mess in me, instead of just sitting here trying to make it seem like everything is okie-dokie and I roll around in daisies every day and I wake up smelling like roses. The devil is a lie and the truth is not in him. Let's just get real. None of us do. The only magnificent thing, God, that we wake up to each day, one, God said that his mercy is new every morning. Two, this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why can I rejoice? Because his mercy is new for me today. Because he knows, like I know, I need his mercy every single day. It's not about what is going on in anyone's life individually per se, because it's not anybody else's business but God's and whoever is involved. But coming to the prophet's table and sitting down, God said in Psalms 23, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and I will anoint your head with oil and your cup runneth over. So when you come to a table, it is a table that is full of the fruit, my God, of God. It is full of his revelation and his glory, the supernatural power of God. So many of God's children get afraid of the supernatural. The minute that you hear someone say something that sounds a little different, that isn't all churchy, that isn't comfortable for our flesh, the first thing we want to do is say what they said about Jesus. Oh, they got a devil in them, or they worshiping Satan, or witchcraft, or this. Baby, you ain't reading your Bible then. Let's just get real. Jesus was not born naturally. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit into a virgin named Mary. His father was God. His father was not man. The seed of the Holy Spirit impregnated her. When he was born, there were wise men that traveled and were given prophetic words from God about what direction to go back, that brought treasures and admiration and worship to this little child, and as he grew, and as he grew in wisdom and power and reverence, and as he began in his ministry, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted like we do, tempted, hear the word, tempted by the devil. But the only thing that Jesus gave back to the devil was the word of God. That is what we eat. On. Eating from the prophet's table brings forth the word of God in a prophetic anointing that brings life-changing power. It brings forth understanding and clarity in a way that we may not have had it just a moment before. God comes before us, and he says, sit at my table and eat, rest and have peace. Let the joy and the fullness of my glory be your friend that walks with you daily. It is understanding that it brings forth a unity. It brings forth an anointing that begins to overflow. If you ever get into a room or in a conversation with prophets and prophetess, one thing that you'll notice is that all of a sudden prophetic words will begin to flow from them. And all of a sudden there's this change and there's this presence that comes forth because we're sitting and eating at the master's table. He is a masterful God. I'm telling you, he is magnificent in all of his ways. There is no shortcoming in who he is. And so the fruits of the Spirit, listen, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit will bring forth the gifts of the Spirit. Understand, eating from a prophet's table is where you will receive the dedication that you need to walk a little bit further for the endurance, because we're able to reach inside of your heart and pull out those things that will cause a hindrance between you and the Lord, because that is our job. You can't kill us for our job. You can only be killed for trying to kill a prophet or prophetess, because God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's with your mouth as well, your thoughts as well, your attitudes as well. Check yourselves, people. Check yourselves, because this is a time where there is such a great anointing that if you think that Ananias and Sapphira falling dead at the feet of Paul was something, watch what's about to take place now. From today forward, be careful what you do and say about God's prophets and prophetess. From today on, be very, very careful. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. We are talking about the word of God that comes, people of God. Be very, very careful. Very careful. Understand that this is a time where the holiness of God is manifesting, because his army is being built, because as we see the natural armies that are coming together and wars and rumors of wars and the visions that are coming forth as what is going to happen in the United States of America. God has given me for years what is going to happen in the United States of America. We think we've seen terrorism. We haven't seen anything. Understand, when you begin to fight against the people of God, when we begin to fight against God's will and God's way, the things that are going on now, if you read your Bible, you will see it in the word of God. So trying to pray against what's happening, you're out of the will of God. Let's just get back in it, okay? Let's just be transparent about this, okay? Let's be real. So many times we say we want people to be 100, we so 100, but the minute that a prophet or prophets come along and they're telling you the truth, you're going to talk about them like a dog. You're going to say all kind of stuff. Oh, well, you know, that's not, that's a false. I done had so many people, loved ones, friends, foes that done called me a false prophet many times. But guess what? That's going to be between them and God, especially if they've never got it right. It don't bother me none. It don't bother me none because nobody can take what God gave to me. So my concern is not what people have to say or do. My concern is about the will of God, not only in my life, but especially in the lives of my loved ones, my friends, and my foes, my community, my children, my husband, my grandchildren, our parents and brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers and sisters through blood. And you can go on and on and on and on. But get this today, that as we get ready to go forth in this about understanding what it means to eat from a prophet's table, prepare yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus upon yourself and your children, your family, everything that pertains to you, because demons are going to have to leave once the word goes forth, and they will be looking for somewhere to go, whether you're around them or not. Understand that. They travel. Understand that. You have got to get an understanding of the supernatural in a much better way. You don't have to die like I had to die last year to get that. You just need to listen when the word is coming forth and be obedient to it and understand that God is a supernatural God. He does nothing natural. What has he done natural? I wait. Exactly. He's the one that told the earth what he wanted it to be and what he wanted it to do. He told the moon and sun when it could and couldn't shine through the stars across the sky. He spoke to the water. He spoke to man. He spoke to animals. He spoke to woman. Thing that is in existence, whether you follow him, believe him or not, you have to believe in God if you're breathing. Who else has given you that breath? Because you have it. So who has given you that breath? So you can't run that past me saying that you don't believe that there's a God. You're just angry with God because you didn't get your way on something or because something happened to someone that you love and you haven't let it go. Period. So it's not about God. It's about you. It's about you. And I'm telling you, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am telling you, the only person that I faced there was me. There was never a mention about what someone did to me that caused me, as I would say, to say this or do that or not do this or not do that. Oh, no, not once. It was about how I responded to those that said this and did that and went there and went here. That's all it was about, period. And at the end of that was fear. Fear was the root of all of that there. Because fear, listen, you're eating from the table. Fear is what causes us to be stuck. Fear is what causes us to start to think and to allow something to go on and on and on in our mind that does not need to be there. Fear will cause us to hold back from something because we're either not sure of the outcome or we feel that we don't have enough of this or enough of that or how is this going to come along. That's fear. It's not faith. Faith doesn't tell me go out and hurry up and do this so that you can take care of that. That's not faith. Fear. Because it's fear of lack. It's fear of losing. It's fear of denial. It's fear of rejection. It is just outright fear. Fear of being hurt again and again. Fear of being touched the wrong way or my children or grandchildren or people that I know. Or fear of what's going to happen if I don't have this in place or that in place? And God said, wait a minute, I know that I told you in my word that I provide all, all of your needs. All of your needs, according to who? Through the glory of Jesus Christ. It is Christ. He is the bread. He is the water. As you have your communion and you break the bread and you drink the wine or apple juice, for anybody that just gets too holy about that or you can't drink it or whatever the case may be, I get it. You know, you do you and I'll do me. And that's all God wants from us. But here's this. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So when you get up from this table today, if you're not filled, if you're not refreshed and you're not renewed, it's your own fault. Don't blame it on me. Don't blame it on God, because you have a choice right now. Because, see, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And in his presence is the fullness of glory. So to deny that is to deny God. To deny his truth is to deny God. To deny his people is to deny God. Understand the revelations that God wants to get into your spirit today. Understand the renewing power that can come forth in your life in a way that all you can do is just say to people, I'm telling you, I don't know how to tell you how God did this, but all I know is he did. That's all I know. My tonsils, the tonsils that were in my throat that I was born with, the doctors can't figure out how they're not there anymore, because they were so infected and so full of pus, and they caused so many problems. They were such an issue. And because of the things that were going on in my body, they didn't want to touch me because they said I would just die on the table, according to man. But they couldn't figure out. And when my doctor looked in my throat and she said, my goodness, who removed your tonsils? I tell you, she said, it, the way that they cut it off, it's just so smooth and there's not even a mark or anything left there. Who did that? And I said, I guess Jesus did it, because I've never gone to a doctor to have my tonsils removed. And anyone that ever wants to challenge it, I'll be more than happy to show you medical records proving it. I'm telling you, it's God. When you can't explain, the doctors can't explain how I'm still here today. The doctors couldn't explain why my daughter, senior prophetess Jamera, is alive today, because she died in my womb. They literally had to stick something in my womb to shock my child back to life. The devil has been after her since before she was born. I'm telling you, I'm her mother. I know what happened. And I don't need to lie. And I won't. But I'm telling you, no one can explain. God moves. That's like you saying you can see the wind coming your direction. Don't lie like that, because you can't. When Christ is in you, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. How much of that word and revelation are you willing to eat and receive? See, when he said to the centurion, when the centurion said that his servant was sick and dying and he wanted Jesus to kill him, but he didn't want Jesus to come under his roof. He was not a follower, believer. Hear that now. And he told him, I'm not worthy of you coming into my house. Just send your word. And when Jesus said, I have not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel, wow, with the apostles and all of these followers. Wow, conviction. 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 And then he told him, your servant will be healed. But he said, let it be unto you as you believe. As you believe. See, you can't come to the prophet's table and then expect for me to sit here and just feed you. That's not my job. You come to the table and we sit here together in unity and we eat the word of God. And as the word of God comes forth from us, it is placed before us individually and you make up in your mind what you want to reach for on that table. If you are or if you aren't, that's between you and God. I have absolutely nothing to do with that, but I know I'm going to get what I came to get and even more. And what anybody else don't want, hey, I take it. Because I love his glory. I love his presence. I cannot live without his presence. I just love adoring him. We're going to show you something here in Ezekiel. Oh, Jesus. And, you know, when the Lord began to show me something and I began to minister something to my senior pastor, and as God began to reveal the truth, as God began to tell him, you know, don't even worry about what anybody has to say. Don't worry about what they may do. None of that. Don't even be concerned about any of that, because I already know. He said, I already know that they're not even willing to listen. He said, they're not going to listen to you because they don't even listen to me. You know, that is enough to bring forth a conviction that will just bring true change. When he began to say that they were a rebellious people, when he began to say, you know, they're not going to listen, they're not going to receive anything that you have to say, because they don't receive anything that I have to say. You know, that's a mouthful. It's really a mouthful. And if it doesn't bring forth conviction, at least in me, then, you know, I just need to get before God. So we're going to go in here to Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. And it says, and he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me. And when he spoke to me and he set me on my feet, I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are imprudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house. I mean, rebellious, not rebellious. I'm going to read this part up here again. Thus saith the Lord God, ask of them whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Yet they will know that a prophet was among them. Do you hear that? Yet they will know that a prophet was among them, because the truth is coming forth. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns, they are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat. I give you. So again, you're sitting at the prophet's table. You're eating from the prophet's table. He said, open your mouth and eat what I have given to you. See, it's not about him being picky and choosy and him saying what he will and what he won't do. It was him saying, Lord, I will go where you tell me to go, and I will say what you tell me to say, because you're my God, and I am your child. Senior Prophetess Griffin.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you feel led to take it from here? Do you feel led
to
take it from here? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, 1 second. Let me grab my notes because I finished this today. 1 second. Now, as Pastor was saying, you know, he never stopped to say, well, God, this is a lot of people right here. And if you're telling me that they didn't even listen to you, what are they going to say to me? He never, not one time, even stopped to encourage himself. He just listened to God at that moment. So when you are afraid, a lot of times, I know this is me, when I'm afraid of something, I always have to stop and I encourage myself before I do it because I'm so afraid. And I know, okay, if I don't have myself encouraged, I know I'm going to turn back around. But he didn't even stop to do that. He just said, I'm going to follow the will of God, and I'm going to listen to what God has to say to me, you know, and rather these people accept what I have to say or not, God said not to worry. And it also says that in Ezekiel, let me go back, because God was saying that they are very, very rough. These people are very tough like stones, and he was telling Ezekiel, let me go to it right quick. I was in the room doing my baby's hair while I was listening, so that's why. Okay, now let me go back. Okay, chapter 2 on Ezekiel. Let me go to it. He said, human, stand up to your feet so I may speak with you. While he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and put me on my feet. Then I heard the Lord speaking to me. He said, human, I'm sending you to the people of Israel. The nation has turned against me and broken away from me. They and their ancestors have sinned against me until this day. I'm sending you to the people who are stubborn, who do not obey. You will say to them, this is what the Lord God says. They may listen or they may not, since they are people who have turned against me, but they will know what the prophet has been among them. You, human, do not be afraid of your people or their words, even though they may be like thorny branches and stickers all around you, and though you may feel like you live with poisonous insects, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their words or their looks, because they are people who turn against me. But speak my words to them. They may listen or they may not, because they turn against me. But you, human, listen to what I have to say to you. Don't turn against me as those people do. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving to you. Then I looked and saw the hand stretched out to me, and a scroll was in it. He opened the scroll in front of me. Funeral songs and writings and words about the troubles were written on the front and the back. Then the Lord said to me, this is chapter 3, human, eat. You will find the scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said to me, human, eat this scroll, which I am giving to you. Fill your stomach with it, Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, human, go to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to the people whose speech you cannot understand, whose language is difficult. You are being sent to Israel. You are not being sent to many nations whose speech you cannot understand, whose language is difficult, whose words you cannot understand. If I had sent to you them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel would not be willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. Yes, all the people of Israel are stubborn and will not obey. See, now I make you as stubborn and as hard as they are. I'm making you as hard as a diamond and harder than a stone. Don't be afraid of them or frightened by them, though they are people who turn against me. As he was saying, he had to turn Ezekiel hard like stone, because anytime we're doing the will of God, God said we must have thick skin, because if we don't have thick skin, every small word that someone says to us, every look that someone says to us, it's going to begin to manifest inside of us. It'll stir up your spirit, and when God is doing something in your spirit, he doesn't need no distractions. So he said, have very thick skin. Otherwise, you're going to speak the word of God, and when you're speaking the word of God, it's going to come out a whole bunch of confused things. You're going to become confused. Yourself and others are going to be confused because you're so worried about what they said or what they're going to think of me or, you know, how do they feel about me. And it's not, God said, don't worry about that, because it's none of your business how they feel about you. If I'm telling you that they don't even receive me, do you think that you're higher than me? Do you think that you're supposed to be better than God because you're expecting them to do something for you that they won't even do for God? God said, no, we have to accept God the way that God is. We have to accept God the way that we know how to accept God. And some people don't know how to accept God the way that we may know how. Some people aren't willing to. So we have to have very thick skin. If you're so worried about what other people are going to think of you and who's going to turn their back against you, then ministry may not even be for you. If you feel like, oh, my God, I got to worry about the next person rather than what God is saying, ministry is not for you. It's for others to go out there and speak the word of God, because when we don't do what God is saying for us to do, hey, Ma, your phone. Can you put on mute because I can hear everything?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's all right. But when we don't listen to the will of God and God is telling us to go do something, that's no longer just their fault. It's our fault. Their sin, their blood is on our hands at that moment, because we don't want to go and tell the word of God because we're so worried about what the next person is going to think or how they'll receive it. God said to go and tell his word. He never said stop and think about how they're going to receive it, stop and see how their face is looking, stop to see how their emotions are feeling. He never said that. He said go and speak my word, and those who have an ear, let them hear. He never said, is their ears clean enough for them to hear this or not? He didn't ask you to do all that. So when God is telling us to do something, then do it. Because then you begin to frown. You make God frown upon you when you don't do that. You're like, oh, my God, God, you aren't good enough for me because I'm trying to be good enough for this person. Why is it what other people have to say and think about you? Why is that so important to you? Is it that you're idolizing those people more than you even look up to your own father? The only person that you should ever look up to and look at as your everything is God. Shouldn't nobody else be your idol? Nothing. Nobody's emotions or anything like that. That's why God puts us through tough situations. Sometimes we think that we can face the world, and then when it's time to face the world, we actually start to get scared. We might feel like that at the moment, but God knows, and he'll always show his love, and he'll give us the strength that we need to get by. I mean, God ain't just going to throw you into the pits of the fire and not just give you anything to protect you. He said to put on your forearm of God so that while you're fighting the outside, I already have beaten the inside. What's going on? You're just basically fighting like the dust is coming your way. I done fought the battle. I done did everything. But now it's your turn to get up and do something. Because God don't want his people to be lazy. God said that we all must work. We all must put our mind to it. And when I say we all must work, we all must work to get into the gates of heaven. That's what I'm saying. And so many people are saying that they want to get into the gates of heaven but not willing to do that work. Well, when you go to a job and if you don't work, are you going to get your paycheck or no? You won't get paid if you just sitting around and waiting for everybody else to do your job for you. Somebody going to turn you in and you either going to get fired or what? One or the other. So you have to work your way to heaven. Ain't nothing in this world free. We all have to work hard for it. Now, every gift that God gives us is free, though. The gift that he gives us to get by is free. He gives us the joy of the Spirit, happiness, love. He gives us everything that we need, the fruits of the Spirit. So it shouldn't ever be no reason why you feel like you can't do something when God's already put inside of you everything that you need to do. Everything that you need to do, he's already giving you the will to do it. He's already giving you the strength to do it. He's already giving you the mind to do it. So it should never be an excuse to why you're sitting around acting so afraid. You're letting your emotions, fear, step in the way. And my mother has always told me fear is false evidence appearing real. So something can be so small but look so big to you. Like, it's like I was telling her one day, if you're in the dark and you see a shadow, that shadow don't become a monster until you make it real. And it's nothing but a shadow. But you're putting in your mind that, oh, my God, it's a monster, and it could be anything else. Next thing you know, you hiding under your covers trying to hide from a whole shadow, a shadow that ain't even doing nothing to you, a shadow that you put in your mind, and you start to believe that it's a monster. Next thing you know, you're starting to hear voices. You're starting to hear because you're adding all this extra fear that God never told you to grab on to. Nothing. That shadow could be your strength, and you sitting up here hiding from your strength. Anything. That's why we should never hide from what God is doing in our life. Don't ever hide from what he puts in your belly, what he's trying to tell you to go tell the next person. It's not about you. It's about them at that moment. It's about you making your way to your paycheck, and your paycheck is heaven. You want to make it to heaven, and you got to do your work to make it. You got to do your work, because when we get to that gate to heaven and we're waiting to get into those gates of heaven, do you think that we're able to get in there without doing anything, not ever speaking the will of God, not ever doing anything that God told us, and you think God just going to open up those doors and say, come on, player, let's go? No. No, he's not. Thank God, though, it says in the Bible that God will give people a second chance, the 7 years, but that's nothing I want to face. I never want to face that, the 7 years, because when those 7 years come, it's going to be a lot of things unleashed on this earth. And I'm not trying to see it. I'm not trying to be there. So I'm trying to get right now while I can. And you should too. You should let go of anger and bitterness. Don't have your spirit so stirred up because of what somebody else did to you in the past. And God said to forgive them, rather they ask for forgiveness or not. You can't go and preach about the word of God and talk about forgiveness when you ain't even willing to forgive someone that did something to you that took 2 minutes. You can't sit up here and ask God to help you and your word and everything, and you ain't even practicing what you preach. Because guess what? It's always someone out there watching you. You might not think nobody's watching you, but people are watching you. That's why when it come down to it, when you get into an argument with someone, it seems like they be knowing so much about you. Even if they start to make up stuff, that's just letting you know that they've been watching you, even though they might say, you the last thing on my mind. But they'll come out and they'll say, oh, yeah, you'll be at the church praying and asking God to do this and do it. And then you'll be here and there and then acting, well, how would you know so much unless you was watching me? That's it. It's always somebody watching you. And guess what? When they're watching, they're talking, they're going to tell the next person now. And then guess what? That person is going to start to get intrigued with your life. So it's going to be more than one person watching. It's going to be a line of people watching. But you have to be the one that says it doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter what they say. If God told me to do something and to say something, then I'm going to do it. I'm not going to worry about what they have to say about me or who's going to still be my friend. Because guess what? When you go in and you die, is your friend going to be right there or no? No. You just go, let me tell you something, a person that really loves you, a person that loves everything that God does, everything that they say that they love, if they really do, they'll tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not. They'll tell you when it comes to the word of God, what the word says, and what you need to do to get there. If God put a message on their heart, then you know what? Don't block them from that because you're so worried about, oh, my God, how are they going to take this? Because that's not love. That's not love. If God is love and he puts a word on your heart and he says to tell this person, why would you even think that was hate? That's not hate at all. It may seem scary to you, but this might be this person's their breakage that they need, that bondage to be broken. You never know. You never know what it may be. So don't sit up here and pretend like, oh, my God, I'm doing the will of God, but I ain't going to do the will of God at this moment because I'm worried about what this person is going to think for. You know, do the will of God all the time. Ezekiel did that, and that had to have been scary. Knowing that you have to, and then it says that God said that he would do this. Hold on, let me go to it. He was saying in the Bible, go shut yourself up. And I'm reading chapter 3. This is verse 24. Go shut yourself up in your house. As for you human, the people will tie you up to ropes so that you will not be able to go out among them. Also, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so you will be silent. You will not be able to argue with the people, even though they see you. I will open your mouth and you will say to them, the Lord God says this, those who will listen, let them listen. Those who refuse, let them refuse, because they are people who turn against me. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd be afraid now. I knew I was going to get tied up and, you know, I wasn't going to be able to say nothing. And knowing that, you know, we're all humans and we're going to deal with battles like this. And sometimes it's not easy to be quiet when people are coming and slandering your name or God's name and stuff. And, you know, Ezekiel said, okay, God, I understand. I'm going to do what you said. I may be tied up and, you know, may not be able to say two words until you open up my mouth. But, God, if I got to do this just for your glory, then I'm willing to do it. That right there is a true righteous man. Someone that is hungry for God, God's own heart. They're hungry for that. When you're hungry for God, you'll do everything that he says. You know, it might be times where you fall short, but who don't fall short? It says that we'll fall short every day. We all do, but God's mercies are new each day. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. When God says do something now, don't wait till later to do it. Do it now. And that's my word for today. You go ahead, Ma.
All right. Amen. Amen. That is definitely the flow of the Holy Spirit. Because it is exactly everything that God placed in, I know, his people's hearts, and so that we could still be on the same page. Now, I have one question, Pastor. You said Ezekiel chapter 3 and 24?
I was reading chapter 3, verse 24.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. I had wrote that down, but I wasn't. Okay. Amen. And when we go back and we look at Ezekiel chapter 1, he begins to, the thing that he showed me is when you start in verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives, he said captives, so along with those that are also captive with us, whatever it is that the bondage may be that Senior Prophetess was just speaking about. It says, by the river of Chebar. And it says that there were, then the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God on the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoshaphat, I think that's how you say his name. It's probably wrong, but anyway, captivity. The word of the Lord came expressively to Ezekiel the priest. Most of the Zoa, the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then he looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And the brightness was all among it, and the radiation out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within came the likeness of four creatures. And this were their appearance, as they had the likeness of man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. And he goes on, and he then in verse 9, it says, the wings touched one another, and the creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. Now, you keep looking down, they keep speaking about how, their appearance, and how they never turned to the left nor to the right, how they always went wherever the Spirit of God led them. Coming down in verse 15, it says, now it looked like living creatures. Behold, a wheel was on the earth besides each living creature with four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and four all had the same likeness. The appearance of their working was, as it were, in a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward one another four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. They never turned aside. Priscilla, down here in verse 20, it says, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, now, here we go. The Holy Spirit, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because they, because there the Spirit went. He went, or they went, wherever the Spirit went. So it is being led by the Spirit of God, and the wheels were lifted together with them. Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Verse 24, it says, when they went, I heard the noise of wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. We were talking about the army of the Lord. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. They humbled themselves in the presence of God. They were not lifted up. They let down their wings. A voice came from above of the firmament that was over their head. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. So they humbled themselves before the presence of God. We're going to go down to 28. Here we go back again, like an appearance of a rainbow and the cloud of a rainy day. So was the appearance and the brightness all around it. That's God's glory. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. See, he was able to receive and be a part of God's glory through what? Through obedience, through being humble and submitting himself to God and to the presence of God. There was not one time in here where we saw that the Holy Spirit was saying, you're not going the right direction. Not one time did we read in here and hear where they said, the Lord said to him, or the Lord said to them, this is not the direction that I told you to go. I didn't tell you to go this way. It says that everywhere the Spirit went, They also went. Sorry for all the noise, y'all. I got my windows open in here. So where the spirit went, the creatures also went. Now you tell me, what is so natural about that? How is it that when you hear people speaking of the things that they experience and being able to enter into a spiritual, supernatural realm, how is it that all of a sudden something's not right with them? No, it's not that something's not right with them. Something's not right with you. That's all. It's about this relationship and being in a place with God and not being distracted by the things that we don't quite understand. And all you're getting, get an understanding. Ezekiel was able to see and experience the glory, the glory of God, the glory of God. Moses was able to experience the sweet, the sweet glory of God. He was able to experience that. And when Moses came down off the mountain, the Bible tells us that his face radiated with the glory of God, and the people were afraid. He had to cover his face when he was around the people. He had to be what the people wanted him to be. But when he was in the presence of God is where the transparency came forth. He removed the veil from his face in the glory of God, in the presence of God. So when you are walking in the prophetic, there are many people that are hollering and saying, I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't. No, that's not God. No, you just haven't come to that place. But excuse me, don't talk about me because I've chosen to go there. Just because it's something that we have not experienced does not mean it's not God. So what would you say about the time when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with his apostles? He didn't take all 12. Can you please explain that to me, where he was speaking with Moses and Elisha, who was already gone and dead, already in glory? Please explain to me how natural that seems to be. So let me explain to you, the only ones that were invited were the only ones that he knew that would receive. So understand, you get shut out of God's glory, and you watch it manifest in other people's lives. As soon as prophetess was sitting here and she was pouring forth the prophetic word of God, God said she's walking in boldness. She began to speak in boldness. And the one thing that God told me, I want you to talk to my people about this week, is about forgiveness. And she came right out with it. So see, it's about being in the same vein. It's about being able to say, hey, look, I want to get in there too. So you begin to become this reflection. See, Moses was just beginning to look more like God. And the less we look like God, the more we want to shut the ones up that look more like him. It's nothing but conviction of where we should be. And it reminds us of where we're not. It's just God saying, I want to show you who I am through my people. But for those that won't receive, as he said to Ezekiel, go ahead and go to them. But I'm going to tell you, if they want to hear, let them hear. And the ones that don't, then don't even worry about it. Because they're not even listening to me. So I know they're not going to listen to you. But they will know that a prophet has been among them. So what can you deny at that point? You've denied the presence of God. You've denied the Holy Spirit of God. You've denied the power of God. You've denied the word of God. So all that we need to do from that point is to humble ourselves as the creatures would do when they would come down on earth and they would stand in the presence of God. They would lower their wings. See, this is a sign of submission and being humble in the presence of God. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. As the creatures made the choice to follow everywhere the Spirit went, where the Spirit was, they was. Moses said, if you do not send your Spirit with us, then I'm not going. I will not go where you don't go. I will not do what you don't do. I will not say what you don't say. But God, I will be obedient, and I will go to these hard-hearted people, these people that have already refused you because they're refusing your presence, your power, and your word. How can we say we want to walk in the Spirit? How can we say we want the supernatural power of God, but we want to deny the spiritual things that abide in that type of revelation and power? You can't choose to say, cover your face, be quiet. I don't want to hear anymore. They said to Moses, please tell God to stop talking. We can't take it. You'll have people that will say, just I don't even want to hear it, because they're not ready to give up that stronghold and then blame it on someone else because they haven't been refreshed and renewed. It's your choice. And the choice you make is the choice that you live with until you're willing to forgive and be forgiven. Forgive and be forgiven. Coming and sitting down at a prophet's table is not something where you're, yay, hallelujah, to yourself. No. It's a place of transparency, but it's a place of healing and power. It's a place that encourages your heart. It's a place that helps you to reach up to the next level. It's a place that gives you that enduring power to endure. Because God said the race. It's not given to the swift nor to the strong, but it's given to those who will endure. Endure until the end. That is a command that God will allow. He said he will command a blessing upon me that endure. Can you endure through the presence of God? If these beasts come before you or something that you're not used to seeing and hearing, will you tell them to be quiet? Oh, because this is not what my church teaches me. Your church? Excuse me? Your church? No, what does the word teach you? Because, see, the church can have you going to hell. Choose you, this day, who you going to serve. The fear of what is going to happen financially in our lives, God says man cannot serve mammon, money, and God. You have to love one and hate the other. So, come along of what am I going to do about my finance? What am I going to do about this? Then clearly there's been a choice made. There's no excuses. There is no gray. There is only black and white. There is only cold and hot. He said, I would prefer for you to be hot or cold than lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's what God is saying. He's saying, yeah, you might have been in a place. You might have been in a relationship. but I will spit you out because you're unstable. You're double-minded. Either you're going to serve God and trust him or you're not. But you have to choose this day who you're going to serve. So today, who is your master? Today, what do you receive? Do you receive God? I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about my pastor over here. We're talking about each one of us individually. When he said to Adam, Adam, why are you hiding from me? We had a relationship. Why are you hiding now? When we say, I don't want to hear it, or when we say, oh, no, you know it's the presence of God. What do you think the choice is? It's always going to be about our relationship with God. It's always going to be about what am I going to choose to receive today? That's what it's going to be about. We're not talking about if you say it with your mouth or not, because, see, God knows your thoughts before you think things. Don't think he doesn't reveal them. Even the Bible even tells us that Jesus knew the thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. You don't think that that's what manifests in the life of a prophet or a prophetess? You don't have to say a word. You don't have to be in the same room, same town, same city, same country. Don't think God won't reveal what's going on in your head. Please don't think that. Because for me personally, there's many times he has revealed to me what's going on in someone's thoughts. Constantly. Constantly. So today, God said, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You should know the voice of God to know what's him and what isn't. He didn't say follow your church. Jesus said pick up your cross daily and follow me. He didn't say follow your church. So many people have just gotten so caught up in, well, my church says this and my church says that, and, you know, this is what they teach. And, you know, the church says that you should do this and you should wear that and you should eat this and you should. No, that's just not how God operates. See, Jesus said it was finished on the cross, so it's nothing that I got to do. I can't sit here and make myself holier. The only thing holy in me is the Holy Spirit. So trying to look pious and trying to look so holy and trying to sound, and look, I just want to be what God called me to be. He already said I've been made in his likeness and image. But it's how much of that we believe and we receive. How much of his likeness and image is manifesting in your life today? Because, see, that's what was manifesting in Moses. But the people didn't want to receive it, and he had to put a veil over his face because they didn't really want to see the glory of God, even though they were there seeking God. I hope you caught that. I hope you caught that. So today, as we close, excuse me, we offer to you a seat at this table. Eat what God has given you to eat, what God, not man, not me, not my pastor over here, God. Eat what God has given you, and don't be rebellious like the others. Don't keep sitting in that seat Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, going to that job day after day, going into that home, into that community, that school, wherever you go. The same? People know when there's a difference because then they're drawn to it. There's nothing that can keep them from that presence. God said, I draw men into repentance by my loving kindness. So let's just understand. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Humble yourself. Bring anyone up before the presence. See, Ezekiel tells us that the voice, this power, this voice was over the creatures. The voice came from heaven, the throne room of God. If you're really, truly ready to receive true revelation, a renewal and a refreshing, and to see the supernatural power of God working in your life. See, the supernatural power of God will begin to cleanse you of sin. Because you know that as you step further, I got to get more real. So, you either step further to get more real, to be transparent and open before God, or stay in your bondage. Stay as a captive. See, Ezekiel was lifted up away from the captive, as we showed you in Ezekiel. And as Senior Prophet has said, that you could be resisting what you need, that thing that's over there in the darkness, you're fighting it and you don't want because of this fear, but it could be the very thing that you need. Because understand, the light of Jesus Christ will always overpower the darkness. I don't care how dark it is in a room. When you take a light and you light it up, that part, the darkness has to flee. It has to flee. He said you got to have a thick skin. Because when you're dealing with thick-headed people, your skin has to be thick, and there can't be any fear there. And all you say is, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to, as she was saying a few moments ago, you don't have to go back, and you ain't got to fix nothing, figure nothing out, help nobody, because now you in the way, and you trying to play God. When you prophesy his word, when you sit down at the prophet's table, we're not here to shove food down your throat. You choose what you're going to eat, if you choose to eat. But excuse me if I eat while you don't, because I'm not going to wait on nobody to eat. When I sit down at God's table, I'm going to eat, whether nobody else does or not. But I want us, God wants us, to come together in unity and as one and receive the power, the universal power of God. Because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We've already overcome. Time to believe it and walk in it. That's it. It's that simple. It's that simple, but it's a choice. So choose you this day who you're going to serve. Is the light of Christ going to shine in that darkness that's keeping you from going further? Or are you going to allow the darkness to remain? It's your choice. It's your choice. And for anyone out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right now, the Bible tells us that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you need to say is, Jesus, save me. Going through all this long, drawn-out prayer and say this and do this. No, Jesus said those who will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. I don't need to add anything to that. It's his promise. Just ask him to save you today. Jesus, save me. Save me from me. Save me from the sin and the lies. He said he's married to the backslider. So his job, is between you and him. just know, no matter what, he never leaves you, he never forsakes you. His love is eternal, and it's unconditional. If you're somewhere and you're worshiping and there's been a lot of conditions placed on you, that's not God. His love is unconditional. I shouldn't have to do this and do that and wear this and not wear that or say this and not. No, mm-mm. That's just bondage. That's religion and legalism. So are you serving in a religious set? Or are you serving in a relationship? Which one do you have? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do you have a relationship with your church? Wait, your church gospel or belief? I have a church. It's not about, you know, so don't, you know, it's not about the church is, but it's about the church. The church that Christ built. The church that Christ built. If our needs haven't been met, it's because we're not believing for it, period, because God said he supplies all of our needs according to the riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's it. Don't blame it on somebody else. That's just you trying to hide again, like Adam and Eve. See, Adam and Eve were one, so he didn't say Adam. He didn't have to say Adam and Eve. Why? He said Adam. Because they were one. In your marriage, are you one? Or do you remove yourself here and there? Are there conditions in your relationship for love? I'll love you if you do this. Oh, but I'm not going to love you when you do that. Are we submitting to God's truth? And understand, we are the bride of Christ, the perfect marriage. Why are you placing conditions on the most beautiful bride, the most powerful bride, powerful, powerful thing that dwells here on this earth? Why do you put conditions on it? Why? It's a time to be 100 real. It's a time to be intimate with God in a relationship and not telling everyone to hush up and be quiet when something makes us uncomfortable or we don't recognize it because we haven't been willing to go there. Man, and I'm going to turn this over to my senior pastor here, bless her heart. She's doing a wonderful job here on Blog Talk, and she is, excuse me, now over the Blog Talk, and she is doing a magnificent job. God is really using her, and I'm very proud of her, and I thank God that I can have someone. I get to have someone in my life that I can trust with the ministry, that I can trust with the Spirit of God that dwells in them. Amen. So please embrace and welcome back your senior pastor and senior prophet is Jamara Griffin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm very honored to be able to have this position as your daughter as well as the senior pastor, and just to be able to follow the will of God, you know, because it doesn't matter how many children you have, as long as you have one that's willing to listen that hears you. That's all that matters, and that just shows you that you've done a wonderful job, you know, as a mother and as a leader as well, you know. So I'm very thankful for that. And before we go ahead and close this show, if there's anybody that is wanting to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just bow your heads and say this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sins. Make me new. And teach me your ways to be like you. Guide my footsteps along the way. I love you, God. Amen. And if there's anybody else out there that's just needing prayer and, you know, or has somebody else on their heart, you know, just I'll go ahead and shoot a prayer for you all. So just bow your heads with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just want to thank you for another day that you've given us and for this on-time word, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for the many hearts that have listened today or was wanting to listen, Lord God, but couldn't make it. And even the ones that will listen to it later on, I ask that you allow this word to manifest and to minister to each and every one of those individuals, Lord God, and that they take from this, they eat off of this, and they take a powerful word to just share with everyone else, Lord God. I ask that you help those broken homes out there that are needing you, Lord God, that are needing to be rebuilt, Lord God, but just don't know how to ask for that rebuilt, Lord God. I ask that you just give them the words to speak, Lord God. I ask that you guide them in your footsteps to follow you for the rest of their days and to help those people out there that are just needing you every step of the way, Lord God, but has no one there to guide them and teach them about you, Lord. I ask that you just use your spirit to speak to them and to grow with them every day, Lord God, so that they won't even have to turn to nobody else but you, Lord. And I want to thank you for what you're doing in the churches, and I want to thank you for the financial breakage that you said that you're doing with everybody's finances that has been struggling, the ones that have followed your will, Lord God. I thank you for allowing them to be able to use their money for the faithfulness of you and just to follow your will, Lord God, and not spend their money on things that we don't need, but things that will help us in the long run. And we want to thank you for you always being the one to give us everything that we need and allowing us to take your word and share it with our children and our grandchildren and friends and lovers, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for all that you're doing with us. In your heavenly name we pray. I love you, God. Amen. And I want you all to know that Jesus loves you very much, and we love you as well. And if you ever just need someone to pray with you, don't ever have a problem with inboxing us on Facebook, or you can contact me on my Gmail at Jimera, J-I-M-E-R-A, 44, at gmail.com. And, you know, if you want prayer, I can pray with you then. And my mother, if she would like to put out her Gmail, she can put her Gmail out there as well. You can find me on Facebook at Jamera Griffin if you want prayer.
Hey, man. Go ahead, Mom. And you can contact me at Master Prophetess RF at gmail.com. Master Prophetess RF at gmail.com or Lady08Rose@gmail.com. And I'm on Facebook as well, Rose Lena Flannoy. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. You all have a blessed day and allow God to use you. All right. Goodbye and good night.